Hoi, 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 cheeky monkeys.
Toppy,
toppy, toppy.
It's Burkamp.
Hashtag fuck Ellis.
That's magnificent.
Hello, John.
Up and out.
Well done. Bye-bye.
Hello, Gooners. How the devil are you? I was going to do the Vietnam thing, but it's a bit cheesy, isn't it? It really is. It's a beautiful sunny day. And, okay, you know, we've beaten Burnley. Could be worse, could be better. Hey-ho. First in the box was Thomas from Norway. Then there was Loki 73 and 235 100. Nicky Wilson, J-Rob, Marco Bricks UK. Is there Joshua Page, Stephen Edwards? Hold up, I missed somebody. No, I haven't. Oh, I don't know. Pablo Amar's there. Pablo Amar, how are you? Ryan Cost is there. Mika for Life is there. Alonso Spencer, the magnificent Alonso Spencer's there. Oh, hello, Gooners. How are we all? Yeah. There we are. The season is now over. The season is now over. Yeah, Danny, the title's incorrect. 3-1 we won. Sonam Gurung pointed that out. John Hazy's there. Frank Gunner's there. Alan Creek is there. Arsenio Vonga's there. Owl Crusher's there. Archie's there. Oh, Danny, you're letting the boys down. And girls. You're letting the boys and girls down. You got it wrong, mate. How? How can you do that, then? Carly Dwell is there. Yeah, I know the feeling. Firstly, before we get into it all, it is Mother's Day in the States. And from all at ABW, happy Mother's Day to Mrs. Spencer, Alonso's mum. Oh, hope you're enjoying Mrs. Spencer. Hope he's bought you a nice present. If he hasn't, let me know. I'll have a word. I will sort Alonso out if he's not taking care of you. There's no messing about you. And to all American mums of our American listeners, happy Mother's Day. Hope you're having a good time. Joining me tonight, we have the one, the only. It's my brother from another mother. It's John Welsh. Say hello, John.
Hello, John. You all right, James?
It's back. It's back. Oh, thank God for that after last time.
How you doing, pal?
Yeah, I'm not too bad. Yeah, I'm not too bad, pal, you know. It's I don't know. It's a bittersweet end of the season, isn't it?
Yeah, it is a little bit. It's that weird, awkward. Kind of glad the season's over, but want to speed up for 2 weeks' time.
Yeah, no, it's a hell of a gap. Richard Morris has just joined the chat box. Hello, Richard Morris. And then also joining us today. Here he is. It's the Mr. Sulu of ABW. In general, it's Danny the GFP. Say hello, Danny.
Hello, John. So apparently, don't tweet the bin dippers about it because I'm fat, nonce, pedo looking Susan Boyle stunt double of a human being. They don't like it, up them, Jace.
They don't, okay? They're a victim nation. Don't you start playing the victim now. Sorry. Bask in their hatred.
My favourite one was the Susan Boyle stunt double.
Yeah, I've had a bit of that recently. I tweeted, what's his name? Oh, fuck, what's the guy's name? Played for Southampton. Matt Letizia the other day.
Oh, Letizia, yeah.
Yeah, first of all, he did me with his reply, to be fair, but then some of the replies were like, really? Really? But there you go. Who cares? So today, guys, it was the Burnley Arsenal game. Ain't the dirty bastard Northerners. So glad we've won. John, let's get straight into it. Lineups. He's fielded a weakened team. I'm not too sure about that. You've got a long gap till this final. We're going to need football. Do you think he made the right decision for you?
I didn't have too much of a problem with it. I think given our sort of history with Burnley, the games can get a bit feisty sometimes. It's just precaution. No need to pick up an injury. Give some of the younger guys a chance. It's at the end of the day, it's a nothing game, really. So I was pleased to see Willock get a game. Elneny, I don't know, you know, whatever, fine. Good to see Mavropanos get a game again as well. You know, he's going to need more minutes going forwards. And Ketia came on. So I thought it was all right. And I think the only reason he went with Aubameyang over Lacazette was just for the give him the chance to get himself in the race for the Golden Boot. See if he could win it.
Yeah, to be fair, it's catch 22 for him, isn't it? You know, I mean, I think, you know, you have people like me who think, oh, I'm not a fan of resting players. And then the flip side is if somebody does get injured, you know, he gets criticised either way, doesn't he? So, you know, you can't have a go at him for...
I think the thing as well is it's such a gap now that even if they did play today, you know, like Torreira or Xhaka or whoever, I'm not sure how much is going to contribute to their like match fitness. I don't know if the team are going to go away maybe for some like warm weather training in this period or something, but you know, they might go out to Dubai or wherever. But
is Mkhitaryan allowed in Dubai?
I think they let Armenians in, especially ones with loads of money. They definitely let those in.
You know, to be fair to tonight, he's going to hide into nothing on that one, whichever way he goes. So, you know, he's got to win, and Ted, it is. Congratulations. Danny, game kicks off proper, sort of the usual, fair at Burnley. It's back and forth. Mike Dean's refereeing, and the first time I've ever seen him do this, we get a throw in. We've got to take the throw in, and he pushes us back 10 yards. Now, granted, we took a couple of yards, but he doesn't often do that, does he?
I take no notice of the referees, Jace, because I don't care about the referees. I think if the players don't do it, then you can't blame the referee for, unless it was the 50th game, then that was blatant favouritism by the referee, who has probably got a whole stash of used brown envelopes that were stuffed full of readies, because that one, that's the only one I can ever remember. What's that?
Okay, fair enough. John, first incident of the game, Heaton handles outside the area when, was it Mkhitaryan? Who was it on the ball? It was Willock, wasn't it?
Yeah, Willock's on the ball,
It's deliberate. He pushes the ball out. Yeah. You know, it's stopping a goal-scoring opportunity. Mike Dean gives him a yellow. Was that the correct decision?
I think the ruling is if a keeper handles it outside the area, it's supposed to be a yellow card. For it to be a clear goal-scoring opportunity, I don't think it was. There was enough defenders back at that point that were on the line and got behind Eaton, so it wouldn't be a red. I think he went to the lino for that decision, Mike Dean. I'm trying to remember in the build-up to it, because there was a bit of confusion.
The lino didn't raise his flag.
Yeah. So there was some confusion about it, but I think the correct ruling is that it's a yellow card. So did everything right and gave the free kick. I mean, if you're a keeper, sometimes you just have to make stupid decisions like that. He just shouldn't have come out that far. That was the problem.
Yeah. Dan, from the resulting free kick, who took the free kick, by the way? It was Mkhitaryan, was it?
Yeah, Mkhitaryan, yeah.
It was a great shot in. Aubameyang hits the post with his shoulder. Oof, you know, if he'd got his head on that, that was a clear goal, wasn't it?
He could have had four or five goals today. He's in absolutely magnificent form. We've got three in the semi-final. We've got one in the game before that, one in the game before that. And it would have been brilliant because he would have won the Golden Boot with that rather than having to share the goal. I think he's sharing the Golden Boot on 22 goals with a couple of bin dippers. And that would have been another trophy for us, because that would be two trophies we've won this season, plus the ladies, plus the under-18s, four trophies in the season. And it's not even our best season in living memory, unlike some teams that are going to end the season with absolutely bugger all. I forgot what your point was. I just want to have a dig about the
I've lost the will to live, to be honest with you.
You are?
I've lost the will to live.
Yeah, it was a bit weird, but he was really up for it. That, not just that point there, but the entire game. It's so great to see that he is back to full fitness and just coming up for the final. It's going to be so important because he had a brilliant start to the season. Then he had that period where he was struggling to do anything, and they even tried playing him up front with Lacazette, and we're still struggling to score. And it seems like him and the rest of the team have found their goal-scoring touch again just in time for the final. It's brilliant.
Fingers crossed. John, you get Barnes heading wide, Aubameyang shot saved by Heaton, then Leno saving from Barnes. It was all happening, wasn't it? You were two teams really going for it.
Yeah, it was a lot, you know, like more action and feisty than I expected, because it's the end of the season. There's nothing for either team to play for. You know, Burnley are done. They're about to go on holiday. Arsenal, a lot of the players, okay, some of the youngsters maybe are thinking, I can impress on the day, maybe get myself a chance to play in the final or be on the bench. But the senior players in the team didn't really need to do anything. I only thought it was Aubameyang who had anything to play for today. But yeah, it was really, really end-to-end stuff, which is a little bit concerning, I guess, because it was Burnley who were coming at us as well. And I thought they, you know, created as many chances, maybe even better ones than us in the first half, which is a bit of a worry. But again, it's, you know, it's like a, it's a weakened team. It's not what we're going to see in the final and stuff. And players are a bit distracted by that. So I guess from a neutral point of view, it's probably a decent game to watch. I've just realised, I've only just noticed that Man United lost 2-0 to Cardiff.
don't get me started.
I literally have only just seen that scoreline. That's hilarious. Sorry.
Do you know what? Don't get me started. Oh, it's hilarious. Danny, then we get Leno collecting the ball, trying to play out, and decides to just run straight into Ashley Barnes. In the ensuing sort of nonsense, Barnes is the one who gets the yellow. Now, I just thought, you know, of all the people for him to target there, Leno picked the exact right guy. He's a bit of a shitbag. He's one of the dirtiest players. He dives like a bitch. Ashley Barnes is a piece of shit of a player. He really is. And Burnley, you know, they're known for, you know, being dirty and what have you. What do you think of Leno just going for him like that?
Brilliant. That's the way to get the fans on your side, is to go out and rough up a team. It's like when in years ago when Stoke had a half-decent season, it was lovely when our players would go and give Stoke a good kicking. Or there was West Brom, that's another team that occasionally played dark football under the Pulis days, I think it was. And it's great, it's lovely, because Wood and Barnes, both are souls. We saw later on in the game that Wood did that assault on Koscielny. I don't know if you're going to cover that, but the worst thing about that was when the hoarding fell over, the metal leg of the hoarding.
We'll come to that later. I mean, stick to the Ashley Barnes bit.
You could have just said, yes, we're going to talk about that, yes. But Barnes, shithead, dark arts, didn't do them any good, did it? And they have, I did the preview last night all by myself. It was a thing of beauty, Jason, I don't know if you saw it. But I did it less than 15 minutes, and I even mentioned Cats once. And I was saying in there that that they have had the most settled team of all the teams that we've done the preview for so far. And those two up front have probably been the ones that have saved them from relegation. Them and playing Heaton in goal, because as soon as they put Heaton in goal, their season turned around. But Barnes and Wood, I think they've both got 11, possibly 12 goals each this season, but they've got no one creating. And so the only way they're ever going to get anywhere, getting back to your point, is to use the dark arts and start getting rough on people. Didn't work today, though.
Yeah, I loved the bit when he got the yellow. He's still gobbing off, and you just think, oh, it's karma. Karma's a bitch, you know?
Can I just say that if anyone thinks that referees are anti-Arsenal and that Mike Dean hates us and favours the other team, there is a prime example of, it's just that Mike Dean is a shit referee. It's got nothing to do with him disliking Arsenal. That is, Leno commits a foul on Barnes that could be given as, I don't think it would be a penalty, but it'd be an indirect free kick in the box, you know, because it's a foul what he does. I mean, I'm glad he got away with it and that Barnes got the yellow card. But just the Mike Dean nonsense has got to stop. He's just a bad referee. It's just hands down. He didn't see it, so he went, I'm just going to guess. And just think, yeah, it's probably...
No, he's given the yellow card because Barnes wouldn't let it go. You know, Barnes got the yellow card for keeping on going at Leno afterwards.
He's come straight over. Barnes even says to him, go and ask the linesman. And Dean, in his superiority complex of, I will never ask another official an opinion because I am always correct.
First of all, he's in touch with the linesman with the headpiece. If the linesman said, look, sorry, didn't see it, then, you know, he might have already asked him. This is the thing, you know. I agree with you that he's a bad referee. I agree with you. Whoa! Richard Morris smashes in the donation and he says, here's your win bonus, boys. Keep up the great work. Going to miss you guys over the summer. Well, Richard Morris, we are going to be doing a couple of specials over the summer. I need to sort a couple of things out. We got the first one. Got to sort out a date with him, Mr. Welshshire, and there's going to be a couple of others, and I'm going to be contacting some of you guys who are in the box regularly, because I think we Neil McKeon comes in. Neil McKeon music comes in. And he says, "All right, you slags." I love that. we can do a special with a couple of listeners and what have you. So, I'll be in touch, people. I'll be in touch. He's probably asked the linesman. The linesman probably said, "Didn't see anything." You know, but he's kept on going. That's why he's had yellow. He's got nobody else to blame but himself.
Oh, no,
I do it to you anyway.
You know, it's great that you got the yellow card. I'm just saying, just the Mike Dean hates Arsenal narrative is he's just a shit referee.
Oh, yeah. He's a bang average, isn't he? Actually, mate, sticking with you here. You know, we see a good break from Aubameyang. He's kicked, actually, after he goes out to play by one of the Burnley defenders. Typical Burnley, you know what I mean? That's the type of thing that happens. That's why I was happy Leno did it. You get Wood hitting the post from a long ball. And then you have Mustafi with a sort of penalty box and block, which saves the day after we'd had a bit of a melee in there. It really was end-to-end, wasn't it?
I mean, yeah, because you go from the Leno push on Barnes getting yellow, which obviously sends the Burnley players nuts, which is hilarious. And then we're up one end, almost score. Woods just beats the offside trap, which is, I don't know how he does that. He's got to be the slowest player on the pitch. I think he's slower than Lichtsteiner, but brings it down, hits it really well, comes off the post, thankfully. And then, you know, Mustafi's throwing his body in the way. And it was, again, it was weird to see so much action. Like, last game of the season is always generally, it's just like, it's the worst one to go and watch if you've already got your ticket for it and there's nothing riding on it. It's kind of like if it's not a home game, if it's away, it's like, oh, it's just going to be, you know, pretty dull, boring stuff. But that was one of the more exciting games to watch all season, I think, especially first half.
Yeah, I was really enjoying it. Unfortunately, in that melee, Danny, Mavropanos picks up an injury. I don't know the hell he did this because he wasn't on the floor or anything. And he has to go off and Koscielny come on. You know, Mavropanos has had a real tough season with injuries, etc. Are you a bit concerned about him?
Well, at the end of last season, people thought he was the new Messiah, the second coming of Tony Adams and Sol Campbell, as if they'd had a baby. And I was thinking, well, people are getting, it's not like Arsenal fans to get a little bit overexcited, is it? And think a lot, read into one player's a couple of decent games are much more than it was. In the beginning of the season, they're going, oh, he's got to start playing. And as soon as Holding was out, oh, that's it, he's got to start. He's played three games all season. And he's played, that's all competitions. I haven't seen him have a decent game. Whether it be because he's injured, or you need a whole string of games to get back into being match fit, game fit, or fit back into the new manager and the new style of playing, or the many different formations we're playing. I haven't been impressed with him at all. I think, if anything, the bloke's a little bit rash. I don't like that moustache. It reminds me of Ellis, when Ellis tries to grow a moustache for Movember. That just gives me the willies straight away. I don't rate him at all. Yeah, so it was a bit bad for him that he's had to go off injured. I didn't see what happened. I just saw Koscielny coming on and thought, what the hell's happened? Why is Koscielny coming on? You saw Mavropanos sat on the bench. He looked upset, which you're going to be because yeah. A player of him, he's only 21 years old, starting his career. You want to get as many games in and play as well as possible. But the end of last season, he got the red card. And this season, he's been rubbish. So that is one player who definitely needs to go out on loan somewhere. Maybe go and join Chupa Chupa back in Greece. And he could become an invincible as well.
I think he does need regular game time. Mm. I mean, you know, but it looks like that injury. I'm not sure it looked like a hamstring or something like that. But, oh, he just felt for the kid, you know, because, you know, he has struggled. But unless you get regular game time, it's really, really difficult for him. John, you then get Tarkowski heading wide from a corner. Willock shooting wide. After some great work from Iwobi and Guendouzi. What did you think of Willock's first half?
He was good in patches. He was a little bit quiet. I mean, it didn't help that... I thought Guendouzi and Elneny worked better in the second half. They got more... They controlled the midfield a bit better. I thought first half Burnley were fairly even with us. But that one little flash where Iwobi plays the ball into him and he takes that touch, turns and get his, that shot away, and it just went wide of the post. I just think that just shows that, you know, really he's got the technique and he's got ability. Again, he's someone who needs more game time. I think because we were kind of short in midfield this season, probably why he didn't get a loan. Again, he's another player who I'd like to see get regular game time. But I think he's shown enough this season in the games he's played and the chances he's been given that he could probably be a reliable, you know, squad player next season. Obviously, it depends on what we do in terms of the transfer window and stuff. But I wouldn't be against having him as a squad player and saying, yeah, if we need to bring him on in the game. Because he looks like he's got the confidence in his ability. He looks physically strong. And his technique is certainly there.
No, I agree with you. Last season, funny enough, I wasn't impressed with him. Thought he looked really lightweight. I think, you know, he's improved this season whenever I've seen him play. But, you know, it's a difficult game. You know, that midfield, El Nene and Guendouzi and him. You've seen what they've served up in the past, El Nene and Guendouzi. I thought Guendouzi was really good today, to be fair. Yeah. But I thought, well, look, I enjoyed some of his moments on the ball. Grant Wilborn, you're late. How dare you? You know what time we kick off. No excuses, fella, okay? Don't come in here, you know, oh, please don't chastise me. No, no, it's not on. Be on time next time, please. You've got a summer to think about this.
I've told him, Jace, he's got to do three Hail Vingers as penance.
God save Arsene Wenger. God save him. Danny, that we then see, it will be on the break. Tarkowski just cleans him out. No attempt to go for the ball. Gets a yellow. Now, you know, that's a professional foul, isn't it? It's just absolutely, you know, I mean, look, we want our defenders doing that in all fairness, but when the shoe's on the other foot, I thought he should have seen red.
Yeah, it was coming up to the end of the first half, and that was their third or fourth booking of the game. And they obviously just realised, well, we're not going to get anything here. If they do score at home, then it's going to be they only ever win one or two by one or two goals. Their recent home form is okay. I think they've won two and drawn and lost two. And they realised that. Do you have to do that so close to the mic? What are you doing? You got sweeties?
No, I'm folding the paper up ready to throw it after.
Okay, see that thing in front of the microphone? If you fart, it'll pick it up. But don't do that.
I farted twice since we've been on and it hasn't
picked up. Oh, you dirty Trump merchant. Shush, don't. I'm forgetting what I'm saying. Yeah, he's a dirty bastard, but he's a really good player. Him and me at the back. I don't mean me because I have not played for Burnley. I said that last night. Stop asking me if I played for Burnley. Yeah, decent players, but you could see straight away that was their plan for the game, just kick and hack us, because like in the Wenger days, that was the way to stop us from playing football, was to kick us and shove us and do the dark arts and just cheat and foul. The referee was having none of it. Yeah, I just checked. That was their third booking before half-time. And you've got the goalie booked. You've got the centre-back booked. You've got Ashley Barnes. Where did Barnes play? Did he play? Oh, he played that fun. Of course he did. Really been over that. So those players are now got to be careful with what they do. And then the beginning of the second half, Loughton got booked as well. And I think he's their right back. So by trying to do that, it worked against them, because now their centre-back and their right-back had to behave themselves. One more yellow and it could have been off. But like you were saying, that one by unpronounceable could have easily been a red card. I mean, if that wouldn't have been in last game of the season when no one really gives a shit about it and the referee had his flip-flops on, he's ready for the beach. Yeah, I think he could have seen red.
Yeah, I you know, John, what was your view on that? Because for me, you know, there's no attempt to play the ball at all. You know,
that's,
it's just
for me, that's a professional foul. It's a yellow card. It's not a red. He hasn't gone in to hurt him or anything else. He's gone across. He's out of position. He knows that if Iwobi gets past him, he's in at goal. You've got to just take him out and take one for the team. If that was one of my players, I'd say, well done, take the yellow card. I'd be glad. Completely unrelated. If anyone hasn't seen it, check out on BT Sport on Twitter. There's a great clip of Tony Adams. They're referencing the fact that Liverpool lost one game this season and didn't win the league. Two other teams have done it in the past, though. Chelsea and Arsenal in 91. Tony Adams is there on the panel. And he said, well, actually, I was in Champs at a prison at the time when we lost that game, so I was invincible that season. I didn't lose it.
Yeah,
great.
Yeah, I'm not being funny, okay? But, you know, he was in there for drink driving and driving to somebody's lawn. You know, Tony, you're a bit of a prick for doing that, let's be fair.
Yeah, you should have been in prison for smashing that Sapphire up. What a car that was. Sorry, Chase.
Okay.
Fingers on lips.
Thank you. Marcus Hodges, the magnificent Marcus Hodges, smashes in the $10 donation and he says, a season full of ups and downs for Arsenal, but ABW maintains excellence throughout. Thank you for your diehard, from a diehard gooner from South Carolina, on to Baku. Come on, you gooners. Marcus, you are far too kind. I never thought I'd ever hear ABW and excellence in the same sentence. I really didn't. Mostly it's car crash podcasting, but hey-ho. Talking of car crash podcasting, people, that's half-time. You know what comes now. Yes. Oh, Karen Russell's in there. Hello, Karen. How are you? I've got 185 people watching. It's a lovely sunny day outside. I could be walking around the park. I could be cleaning the car. Do you know what I mean? I could be having a nice time. But no, I'm doing this. I'm doing this. And guess how many likes I got? 57. 57 likes. Oh, my. I don't know why I bother. If you're going to behave like pikeys, like bin dippers, okay, go follow a bin dipper club. But otherwise, let's start tapping that like button, please. Let's start tapping that like button, please. Because I'm not being funny, okay? You know, we're not Liverpool losing one game all season and then losing the title. No, we're ABW. We rock up on time, every time, as promised. So don't shame your parents. Don't make your grandparents turn at the thought of your name, okay? Tappy. Let's get going. Let's hit that like button. I expect 110 toot sweet, please. No excuses. You know, it's raining in New York with database. Where the hell? Database LPC? I've messed that up. No, I'm sorry. I'm acting like a spud now. I do apologize. Honestly. See, this is what you're doing to me. Okay, you're turning me into a wreck. Now, that's 80 likes. Yeah, it's good, okay? DataKLBC.AKLBC. Thank you. You are magnificent. You know, but this is what you've done to me. You've turned me into a spud. Oh, Jesus, I'm falling apart. Honestly. Oh, finger it like that tweet on his timeline. Thunder Road's back in there. Good to see you, Thunder Road. Sorry, Data, KLBC. It's all gone to pot. But come on, guys, there's 84 tweets there. We need another 26. Let's go. No excuses. Right, back to it. John, second half kicks off. And there's a Luton challenge on Iwobi. He's off his feet, studs up. I don't think it was intentional. It's a yellow from Mike Dean, but it really annoyed Iwobi, didn't it?
Yeah, he got riled by it because it's just the way he follows through with the ball. Again, I don't think it's an intentional he's gone out to injure the player. I think he's gone to clear it. And sometimes when you follow through like that, you're going to catch someone awkwardly. And he does catch him. Thankfully, Iwobi wasn't hurt by it. But I understand his reaction. And I think it's... The problem they actually spoke about on commentary, players like Iwobi, they spoke about Zaha, you know, tricky sort of wide players who can beat a man, will get kicked up in the air quite a bit. And Iwobi was one of our best outlets today. So he was getting a lot of attention, you know, when he had the ball and when he was trying to take it past people. So I think it was just a bit of frustration from him. It was funny afterwards when he put the tackle back in on Luton and sort of gave him a little shoulder barge and stuff. And then you saw Sean Dyche on the sideline sort of laughing about it and, you know, trying to see the funny side of it. And Luton kind of laughed it off. I'm glad that nothing else came of it. But yeah, I thought yellow card was fine. I didn't think it was a red.
Yeah, it is one of those where you kind of think when you're getting kicked that often, you know, you are going to react. You are going to react. So it's one of those. Darren Clifford says he can only tap the like button once. Thank you, Darren. You're a rock star. Cheers, bro. Danny, then you get Cos pushed into the hoardings. I wasn't sure who did it, but he was pushed after he crossed the line
again.
It was Wood, was it? I mean, you know, that there was no action taken over that. That was just allowed to go. I mean, what were your thoughts on that?
Well, my initial thoughts were how dangerous that was, because as the board tipped over, the two legs are about that long either side of it. Big legs, look like metal legs. And it was about a couple of inches away from, you know, penetrating Cos the way that no man wants to be penetrated alive on TV. Well, I say that, there are probably some that do. That's dangerous. I mean, if he'd have fallen on that at all of his weight, that could have gone into his stomach and cut him open. That's really, really bad. But then when you've got an old stadium like Turf Moor, you are going to, I mean, I know that, I think that was the end where they were filling in the corners. So they need to look at that, because that is dangerous. Most other places have just got the digital hoardings all around the side. I know even the old stadiums have got it, but that was a terrible thing. I mean, he deliberately knew what he was doing. It's much like when Arnautovic did it to Debuchy and ruined his career. And that happens far too often. And the FA need to look at that, of other players either slowing themselves down by pushing other players into the barriers or deliberately doing it. And just, it's so dangerous. I mean, like there was that one in Japan where the hoarding, the bloke, this is Jay Bothroyd's team, the bloke didn't realise, he scored, ran over to the hoardings, jumped over the hoardings, not realising there's a 10-foot drop the other side. Did you see that? Bloody hell, these things are a menace. They're a menace. Should surround the pitch with bouncy castles. Everyone will be all right then. That'll work. Did that answer your question?
Kind of, yeah. John, what was your view on it?
Yeah, I mean, it's the weird thing of do you give a red card? Yeah. It's the weird thing of, do you give a red card? Because if he does that anywhere else, like on the pitch, and just pushes the player afterwards or whatever, you're probably just going to get a yellow. So
yeah,
then is it? It's a red because it's in a dangerous area of the pitch, but there shouldn't be a dangerous area on the pitch. So I think, yeah, you can book him for it, definitely. I don't think you can give a red card. I think that's something the FA, like Danny said, the FA do need to look into, like what is actually allowed to be around, you know, or how close certain things are allowed to be next to the pitch. Because it's ridiculous. Because someone's going to get, you know, seriously hurt because of it. So I think I think in South America there was someone, they had like concrete like walls almost very close to the pitch, and someone got barged, and it was a like fair like shoulders to shoulder, but he lost his footing just as he's done it, and his head went down, his head went straight into the concrete, and he got serious, like, you know, serious damage. So whether you do it in this case, it was intentional. I don't think he's gone, I'm gonna, you know, chuck him into the hoardings or whatever. He's just gone to push him. But whether it's intentional or not, someone's going to end up with a serious injury. So it's something they definitely need to look into.
Well, it's this thing of Burnley like leaving it late on, don't they? They like leaving something on the challenge after the ball's gone. Mm. And that's the bit that annoys me. You know, I mean, Ashley Barnes could have gone. There was a foot-high challenge on, I think it was Guendouzi. And Dean just spoke to him, which, you know, I thought, fair play. He's giving him the benefit of the doubt there. That's fair enough. But they love leaving something on there. A quick news flash. Lord Hillwood has reported that Souness has lost it on Sky. Oh, poor Graham. Poor Graham. Oh, did your team not win the league again? Fuck you, Souness. And the magnificent Dean Robinson piles in the donation and he says, top four is there for the taking, but fifth place and Europa League final isn't bad. With that defence, anyone got the odds on Ole being the next manager to be sacked? Nice. Thanks for the donation, Dean. You're an absolute rock star. Cheers, mate. Much appreciated. I think they're going to be shortening by every loss. Then, Danny, these are my notes, okay? These are my notes. Auber goal. I'm not going to shout it because obviously the moment's gone. But then it's, fuck you, dirty northern bastards. A mean mistake. Aubameyang does the biz. Talk me through it.
Right, now, which that was the first goal. I watched the game. Huh?
Cork plays a ball back to me.
I've got it. Cheers. Yeah. So, it goes out to, they've got two central defenders. They've got another bloke in midfield. He's got the ball and he decides to kick it to one of the centre backs. Like, I think you said it was Cork. And then one of the centre backs goes, "Oh, I've got my bucket and spade. Oh, what are you doing? Oh, what's occurring? What's going on?" And then Aubameyang goes, "I've been doing this all season." Clicks on the afterburners with the ball. Goes after it, takes the. I think the defender may have had one foot on it. Aubameyang goes, no. This goal, this is mine. I'm having this. I'm on a goal scoring spree. And then he gets the ball, runs at the goalie, scores. Magnificent. But people need to. He does this all the time. He's been, especially the last few months, he's been doing it. You cannot take your eye off the ball even for a second when Aubameyang is round, because he will nip in like a whippet, get the ball off you, and go and score. And that was so good, because at that point I thought that the game was going to be. It had been a bit boring, apart from the WWF style tactics from Burnley. The game had been a little bit boring. Elneny and Guendouzi midfield, I didn't expect much from this. I thought Guendouzi's out there. I mean, Aubameyang's out there on his own, and he's getting no help from anybody. And then one of the Burnley players goes, "I'll help you." And he did. Oh, I cheered. My cats looked scared, but I cheered. It's brilliant. And that set us up for the rest of the game.
It was sharp. John, he did awfully well there, didn't he?
Yeah, I mean, Alba was, he was great all game, I thought. He was, even when he wasn't involved as much, I thought he played really well. But just that sharpness, that awareness, you saw how much he wanted it. And he went through that little spell, sort of two-thirds through the season, where his form dropped off and he wasn't playing as well. And I think, you know, a few of us, me included, started questioning his ability and stuff. And I still do to a certain extent sometimes, because he can miss the odd easy one, which he did in this game. But
don't spoil it.
But one-on-one with the keeper, you know, it just puts it away. And it is brilliant at that. And it was a really good goal. But the second one was just, that was even better though. Oh.
Yeah, we'll get to that in a bit. Now, in that moment, Guendouzi gets a yellow for unsporting behaviour, it's reported as. So he's obviously said something. I mean, you know, and I suppose it's a reaction to the Dirty Tricks campaign by Burnley, the same old crap from them. And I wish he'd kept that out of his game, but I thought Guendouzi played really well today. So I'm not going to give him a hard time, but he needs to work on this side of his game, you know, where... You know, he can't keep on picking up cheap yellow cards. It's going to cost us. Mm. Danny, then you get Heaton saving from Mkhitaryan. Leno taking the pit. Then Leno in the corner. Leno and Ashley Barnes go for the same ball, okay? It's outside the area. Barnes is all elbows. That elbow shouldn't be up there. You know, it should not be up there. You only put your elbow up there if you're trying to elbow somebody in the face, okay? But Leno takes a piss out of him and proves that he's actually the better footballer out of a goalkeeper and Ashley Barnes. What were your thoughts on that?
Yeah, I also noticed during the game, they're saying that Leno's a better footballer, that a couple of times the ball would come back to him, he'd trap it with his left foot and kick it out of his right foot immediately. I thought, how many players in the Premier League that can do that? This, like you were saying, Barnes can't do it. And I think this was just Barnes trying to get a little bit of revenge for when he got booked in the first half. And they can see that Leno is one of those. If you're an outfield player and you see the goalkeeper, he gets the ball, runs out with the ball, and does that kind of sweeper keeper thing, then you're going to want to go and take him out, because you don't want to be embarrassed by that kind of stuff. And Leno's just brilliant. And it must be really frustrating for the like of Barnes, because his dirty tactics aren't working. And that's why the elbow's right. But now, I don't know if the referee didn't see it or whether it didn't make contact. John will know the rules on this, because I don't know any rules when it comes to what the referee does. But if the referee saw it and didn't do anything about it, then maybe it wasn't as elbowy as it looked at the time, but it didn't look good.
John?
I don't know what the rule... It's weird, because goalkeepers get more protection than outfield players, don't they? So they tend to get the decisions for them. I thought, to be honest, that, you know, Barnes has got his elbow up high, then Leno's got his arm wrapped around him. I thought it was, you know, a bit of swings and roundabouts, to be honest. The last moment, Barnes does, you know, foul him, sticks his leg out and brings it down and gets the free kick. But I thought they were both at it. It was fine. I didn't see a problem with either of them challenging for the ball there.
I'm surprised you're not wearing a Burnley shirt.
Or a stripy referee shirt.
I like it when teams get physical and actually go at each other. I get really bored with the fucking bollocks of, oh, falling over again, you know.
Yeah, you know, you've got the Tom Daly Champions League final coming up. AIDS versus a baller wrapped in the plague. Fucking, I'm not being funny. I'm going to have to leave the fucking country.
On May the 29th, doesn't it, Chase? There's no more football after that. It's all over.
I can't believe I'm going to be cheering Liverpool on. I can't believe it.
Cheering? Good God.
Hey, imagine. Oh, look, and let's not go there. Willock then is replaced by Nketiah. And then, John, the Aubameyang goal. Nacho, some really good work on the left-hand side, ball through to Iwobi, and Iwobi with a fantastic little cross to Aubameyang, and banger. Wow. Go.
Yeah. I think I enjoyed the cross as much as I enjoyed the finish, because Aubameyang really puts his foot through it, and the connection on it is absolutely beautiful, and goes back across goal, like, perfect. His little bit of movement, his positioning is great. But the weight on the ball from Iwobi, I thought, had a really good game today. You know, he did a lot of things right. He was our most creative outlet. You know, every time he got the ball, Aubameyang immediately moved because he knew he was going to look for that first-time pass. And just the weight and the flight on the ball was so, so good. I just wish we would do that more, because we've got, in Aubameyang and in Lacazette, we've got two strikers who've got really intelligent movement. You don't have to put in, you know, a perfect on-the-floor ball or anything like that. You know they've got the movement just to create themselves a yard, 2 yards of space. You can just float one into the back post and they'll just peel off. And we saw it a couple more times in the game after that, actually, where Mkhitaryan got a really good chance in a similar position. And I think it was me. I'm not sure how much he knew about it, but just got his face in the way of it. Otherwise, we could have got another one. But, yeah, I hope we see that sort of movement more. But really, really nice from Iwobi and great finish from Aubameyang.
Yeah, it was fantastic. I mean, Dan, what were your thoughts at that point? 2-0 up, fabulous goal.
You look like you're going to say something else there, and I know what I'm like for annoying you, and I was just making sure that you're not going to say anything first. Yeah, I've said quite a few times that Iwobi, not only has he got pace and ability and skill, he's got brains as well, because to read a player, what a fullback is going to do, and then turn them inside out, plus the fact that he's right-footed and plays on the left wing. And we know that Robin has been stealing a living for that for the last 400 years. That for him to be able to see that, that for him and Munreal working really good down the left-hand side. And when Munreal got the ball, went down there, fell over, still got up, and then managed to give the ball to Iwobi. And Iwobi must have had to look left to see what Munreal is going to do, looked right to see where Aubameyang was, and had to see where the defenders and the goalkeeper was, and to chip it perfectly into the path of Aubameyang was absolutely fantastic. And Aubameyang weren't fucking around today. He was determined to get that golden boot, and he's got it. And that kind of communication and on the same kind of level that all those players are finally getting. We're seeing this so much more at the end of the season. I know we've had some really patchy league
games.
We've
lost most of our games at the end of the season, mate.
What?
We've lost most of our games at the end of the season.
Didn't lose on Thursday, did we?
Fuck. We're playing a dog shit Valencia, so I can't.
If Emery heard you say that, he'd be sad. What if Gabriel comes and gets you and then pushes you over Gabriel, and jumps on you?
Am I going to get on my knee?
True, that, isn't it? No, but it is. It's nice to see that all the players are working as one. We often say that there are no players that are working on Ozil's level. Well, it's nice to see that all of these lot know where each other are, and that's a sign of a good team working together and gelling and moulding together, and it's really good. But that was a magnificent goal.
It was. It really was, to be fair. Lovely play by three players there. And a fabulous finish. It was nice to see. But John, then I just put out the double fuck you Burnley tweet, because I was getting cocky and shooting my mouth off. And then Ashley Barnes goes and scores. Go on, talk me through it.
There's a few errors in this one. We never clear the ball properly and never clear our lines. Koscielny's the first one guilty of it, doesn't clear properly, only gets it to the edge of the box, gets swung back in again and again and again, and players are just scrambling, not only position. Then I think it's Loughton, is it on the left? I'm trying to remember now. Is he the left back? oh God, no, not Loughton, Taylor, it must have been Taylor, sorry, on the left. He's got the ball and the byline bounces to him. I think Barnes has kept it alive. Lichtsteiner just doesn't close him down at all. You know, at any point, he just stands there with his hands behind his back on the near post. So he gets time to put the cross in, and Barnes is there completely unmarked. I think Koscielny's on Woods. Mustafi, it's the only point in the game where I thought he messed up, to be fair to him. I'm trying not to stick it to him.
To be fair, I think, what you know, you'd seen play go back and forth.
Yeah, oh yeah. I mean, don't get me wrong, it's not just his fault, it's everyone. You know, yeah. The first mistake is from Koscielny not clearing properly, and then there's about three or four other players that don't do their job either. And yeah, Mustafi is sort of caught in no man's land, not going to get back on Barnes, and you can't give a player like him that chance. He's not the greatest player in the world, but with his head,
he finishes well.
He finishes really well, and it's a, you know, it's a great finish from him. But yeah, it was just disappointing to consider. It would have been nice to keep a clean sheet. Again, it's a game that doesn't really mean anything, but it's just building their confidence and trying to, you know, as that defence, the sort of things they've gone through this season. It'd be nice to get another clean sheet before the final to try and breed a little confidence and belief in themselves before that game.
Agreed, mate, agreed. Dan, you then see the Mkhitaryan. It was a beautiful volley, and he blocks it with his face, to be fair to him. It was, you know, brave as you like. Then you see Mkhitaryan's shot saved by Heaton. First of all, what were your thoughts on Mkhitaryan's game? And then, is me a player you'd like to see at the Arsenal?
I'd love to see you at the Arsenal anytime, Jace.
I know, so, yeah.
It'd be a thing of beauty. Mkhitaryan, when he was taking the free kicks in the corners, he was shit. And then when he had that, just before the bit of play that you're talking about, Guendouzi was on the left-hand side when we were making a run. He got tackled and he got brought down. He was on the floor for quite a bit. And then Mkhitaryan got the ball, wandered off down the pitch, had his shot, and then the goalie caught it. And then he just went, I'll have a Bijou strollet down the pitch, shall I? Meanwhile, the other side of the pitch, Guendouzi's getting up, carrying his own leg because it's come off, hobbling down the pitch to try and catch up with playing. Mkhitaryan's going, I don't care. My season's over. Fuck if I'm going to go and play in Baku, and I'm not going to risk it. But he's just so bloody lazy. And I think, I want to show him that and go, Mickey, what the fuck are you doing? How do you think it's okay to be the furthest forward, have a shot, the shot is saved, and then just not bother? And they've got the ball, they're on the break, back running back down the pitch. Guendouzi's only got one fucking leg, and you're just walking back as if you've got nothing else better to do with your time. So much of that Jekyll and Hyde from Mkhitaryan, it just winds me up. And this is the reason why players like him, they've done everything they're going to do in their career. They're earning an absolute fortune. He doesn't give a shit about anything anymore. So it's just really annoying. But sometimes, I mean, you look at that game when one of his first games was against Everton. What did he get? Four assists in a game. How is a player capable of doing something like that? And a couple of games this season, he's had, I think there's one where he scored two goals. And then it does stuff like this. I think him and Ozil are reading from the same playbook where they just don't give a shit most of the time. It's so frustrating. Our two highest earners doing so little to earn their wage.
Especially when you look at the quality they've got. You know, because these guys have got quality, and that's the frustration. God, yeah. Not
I mean, look what they've got, all the goals and the assists and the skills they've got. I don't know. It's worrying about the fact that neither of them seem to do it, or that neither of them seem to care.
Absolutely, pal. Absolutely. The magnificent Matt Sanasi is in the chat box. Hello, Matt. Matt is responsible for opening credits, so give him a shout out, everyone. And then the magnificent Alonzo Spencer piles in with a donation and he says, I hate odd numbers too, Danny. Oh, the bloody chat box is going up now. There you are. Because of Cos the Boss, cheers to the best Arsenal pod in the land, and also cheers to the Gooners pod. Alonzo, you're a top man, mate. Love having you on board. Thank you very much. Cheers, buddy. John. Then you see, I can't believe it when he missed this. I really couldn't. And Nketiah and Mkhitaryan, some really good work. It's a fantastic ball across from Mkhitaryan. How the hell did he miss it? How the hell did Alba miss it?
I don't understand how he does that, because there's so many times this season where he's had chances like that, easy ones that should be tap-ins for him. Mm. I mean, it's harder to miss than to score that, surely. It's got to be. So, I mean, he's literally just got to connect with it, and it just goes. I mean, it's frustrating because it would have been hat-trick and he would have ended up having a golden boot on his own. I mean, he doesn't know that in the game, obviously, but yeah. I don't know. I think that's just one of those things you just have to get used to with Aubameyang. He's going to have one of them in him every game where he's going to miss one like that. Which
we knew that him coming from Dortmund, but the thing that kind of frustrates me is he's worked his socks off. Lacazette gets an awful lot of credit for working hard. I think Aubameyang works just as hard, to be fair. Okay, I don't think, you know, you can knock him. And, you know, the team were actually playing for him to get the third, which is so frustrating, isn't it?
Yeah, I don't know. You're just going to have to accept that. You look at his goal return this season from a team that, let's be honest, we haven't played great football. We haven't helped the strikers as much as we should have been. We haven't really been giving him the greatest service. And of our two strikers, he's the one who's probably got the least service for his style of play that he enjoys playing, you know, on the shoulder and in behind like that. We haven't really done that very much. So I'm not going to complain because his goal return has been great for us. But, I mean, as long as he doesn't do that, you know, in a final, then I haven't got a problem.
Oh, yeah. You know, it's one of those things. I mean, I kind of find that, you know, look, he cost us fourth with the penalty miss against Spurs. I know. But you look at what he's contributed in goals-wise this season, and you've got to give him credit.
I don't think you can put that all on Aubameyang. Us not getting top four.
No. You can't put it all on him. But if he scores that penalty, guess what?
Yeah, I mean, you know, if the manager makes the right team selection for any of the games in the last month and a half, then that goal doesn't matter. We could have lost that game and still got top four. So, you know, I think there's more moments that are bigger than that one.
That's a fair comment. No. I'll go along with that. Dan, then you see Cork go through the back of Guendouzi. Guendouzi and Iwobi have been kicked all game. He gets a yellow for it, rightly so. But what the bit that really annoyed me about that was you had Ashley Barnes, the cunt, screaming at him when he's lying on the floor. Now, I agree that Guendouzi goes down a little, way too easily. And, you know, he loves to play it up. But, you know, it was typical Burnley, wasn't it? It really was just typical Burnley.
Well, Guendouzi was getting a kick in the entire game. And, I mean, he's a young man, and they all know that he may be the weak point in our team. Although Elneny, the team that started the game, Elneny is probably the least skillful and isn't going to progress much as a player. Guendouzi is the kid. And they know it's his first season in the Premier League. He's young. At the beginning of the season, people were doing this, and they're winding him up to get him booked, and then we'd have to take him off. But it's not really... I think Guendouzi going down like that, that's something that English players, you know, the old Northern English players, they're not going to like it. They're going to see, they're going to shout at you and getting annoyed with you. But Cork got a booking for that, didn't he? I think.
Yeah, he did.
Yeah.
He did.
But it's just, like I said before, this is what we're going to expect from them. Because if you're beating them, what else are they going to do? They're not going to outskill us, are they? They're not going to outpace us. They were just going to lob balls into the box, like with the goal they scored where it went backwards and crawled across our box three times before one of their giants ended up nodding it in. So that's their last resort. They can't do anything else. Their season's over. They're safe. That's all they want.
No, absolutely, absolutely. Chat box, I'm on 99 likes. Grow up. 11 more, please. Toot sweet. Tappy tappy. Let's get going. Come on. Crying out loud. I do this crap every week. And they're not liking enough. I don't know what the hell is going on. Sorry. John, in any case, Heaton saves from Mkhitaryan. Then you get Crouch shooting into Tarkowski, which I found particularly funny. Tarkowski, great defender. You know, the English Socrates. In ban average. Aubameyang shooting high. Iwobi with a poor cross, which kind of, yeah, I thought Iwobi played well today. That end product, a couple more decisions right every game and he'd be well away. But then you see the Nketiah goal. Really cheered me up. Really, really cheered me up.
Yeah, just, I was so pleased for him because his season's kind of been, thrown away in a sense, and it's not his fault. It's because of the Welbeck injury and the fact that we basically couldn't afford to let him go out on loan, because I think otherwise he would have gone out. And it looks like we've kind of sorted out our loan system in the fact that they are going to decent leagues now. When you see where Nelson and Death Row Records has gone and stuff, I could have seen Nketiah going to Germany and playing a lot of games, which would have been great. But yeah, he's come through, you know. He looks, every time he's come on this season as a sub, he's looked exciting in Nketiah. I don't know whether he will make it at Arsenal. I hope he does. It'd be good, because it's always nice when you get someone from your own academy. But he's always come on and tried to do something. There's always been one moment in every game, even if, you know, he's been anonymous for 20 minutes, there's always been one little moment where he's done something that's just sort of made you get to the edge of your seat. And I was just really pleased for him to get a goal. You saw Ljungberg tweeting about it, saying, you know, great to see an Arsenal Academy prospect. Well done. Congrats on your goal and everything. Also talking about Joe Willock starting today. So I think they've got a... I just hope that he gets the opportunity, whether it's a loan or whether he is going to get more game time next season, whatever happens with him, that he actually gets to play games so we can see him play properly. Because there's definitely a player in there. Whether he's going to have enough to get to the level we want to be at and he will need to be at is to be seen. But I was really, really pleased for him.
Yeah. Dan, your thoughts on that? Because I know, you know, you've kept an eye out on the youth guys via George Bird for quite a long time now. So give me your thoughts on that, mate.
Well, my first thought is that the Arsenal used to have Arsenal TV on Sky. They need to get that back, because I would watch the women's games. I would watch the under-18s. I would watch the under-23s. I'd watch the entire lot. Next season, we're going to be back in the Champions League. When we were in the Champions League a few years ago, then if we were playing Benfica at home.
When you didn't like it.
Yeah, but I was wrong. That's something you'd never heard Jason say. You've never been wrong about anything, have you, Jace? Just like my black shirt. Don't you start me on that, boy! Yeah, so if we're playing Benfica at home in the Champions League with the first team, then also I think the way it worked then was then the under-23s would play, or I think it's under-21s for that. So they need to sort this out and get these games on TV, because we have got a magnificent women's team that won the league. The under-18s have won the league. The under-23s have been run up in the league. And I want to watch these games. I don't just want to read the wonderful George Bird's reports and get all my information from there. But there have been a whole line of these young players. There was Chupa Chupa Apcom, who was a similar kind of thing to Nketiah. There was the one, who was the one who went to Wolves, young striker. And they...
J. Emmanuel Thomas? Was that Jet?
Oh, God.
I know who you mean.
I can't remember his name. So they're all of a similar ilk of players that have come through the ranks, the 18, the under-21s. Then they've had a few games in the League Cup, maybe been on the bench a bit. They've scored loads of goals at lower levels, like Judge John Jules from the Ministry of Sound Party. He's another one coming through. And there's Balogun, who was top goal scorer in the under-18s. He's another one coming through. Benikophobia. Yeah. He's back on loan somewhere, isn't he, at the moment in the Championship? Maybe Leeds or something like that? Of those really nippy young players that show so much promise. I mean, back in the days, for the mums and dads at home, they're the modern day Paul Dickovs, the ones that were doing it all in the reserves, and they just didn't quite make it for the first team, but they did get their chances. A lot of these are like Eddie has got his chances because Welbeck has been out all season. And didn't you just say, John, that if Welbeck would have been fit, then Eddie would have been out on loan somewhere? And I personally think that probably would have done Eddie more good. But he's now scored in the two goals in the League Cup. He scored a goal in the Premier League. How many players can say they've done that for Arsenal, scored a goal in the Premier League? So that's a really good way for him to end his season. So I'm quite confident. Whether he makes it or not, I think next season he definitely needs to go out on loan, because who was the one who nearly went out on loan to, where was he? Augsburg in Germany. Jens Lehmann was the assistant manager there until he got sacked.
I think that was Nketiah was due for the loan, and then Welbeck got his injury, didn't he?
Yeah, that's it. So I think, like you were saying, getting good loans to German teams now, there's no more of our players going to Dutch second division teams, or like we've got Kelechi Nakawali, whose name I mercilessly ruin every time. He's playing for FC Porto in Portugal, their B team, who are bottom of the Portuguese second division. I mean, why the hell? What's he doing there? What kind of youth point loan is that? I'd say this every time, don't I? But yes, Jace, a couple of loans. And then
you were pleased from Nketiah then.
What?
You were pleased from Nketiah then, yeah?
Pleased as a man with a new hat.
Good. Thank you for that.
Didn't take me long enough to say it, did it? I should have gone, yeah.
You carpenter the shit out of that. Mr. Boblex smashes in with a donation. Onwards to the final, up the Arsenal. Oh, God help us, guys. God help us. That's the game done, okay? You know, it was final whistle then. John, I actually enjoyed the game. I thought, you know, it was a second string team. I thought, you know, there were some really good performances in there. I thought they could have folded because, you know, Burnley were out to bully them. But, you know, no, we were up for giving it back and we're up for playing the game. It's a good win at the end of the season.
Yeah, it's a good win. It was, again, we said it a couple of times, it was in the end a nothing game, but it was one that before we were at this point where we knew where we were going to finish, we knew it was going to be tricky. And to be honest, I had us down for a loss just because of our away form. You know, let's not forget, away from home, we have been dreadful. So we played okay today. I thought we played really well in some spells. Defensively, we looked a little bit weak, but you know, it was a not a thrown together team, but it was a weaker team than we would have probably put out, you know, if we were still in the race for a top four spot. So yeah, good result, you know, finished the league campaign with a positive at least, and let's just hope that from now till 2 weeks time everyone can keep fit and keep sharp for the final. That's the main thing. Can I just read out a quote from Jurgen Klopp? It's hilarious. Sorry. Yeah. I've got to read this out.
Before you do that,
go on then.
Before you do that, a massive happy birthday to Cilla. Cilla is Fuck Ellis's better half, and she's a top girl. Cilla, that's all I'm going to say to you. If he really cared, if he really, really, really cared, he wouldn't switch the bloody slow cooker off, would he? No, he wouldn't. I hope you make him pay for that tonight, okay?
She's too good for him.
Yeah, way too good for him. Mind you, to be fair, he is really smitten with that. And, you know, in all fairness to Ellis, you know, he's loved
that. Loved
up. He's
he is.
You know, she he's real, I thought she was pretend. I thought Ellis had just made it all up.
Jace, go along. John, go along with it.
Oh, right. Oh, sorry. No, she's real. Okay, fine. Yep.
It's in pictures of her. She's hot as well. And she's hot. Okay. I can't believe a girl, a lady of Cilla's quality, is going out with the bastard love child of Freddie Mercury and Saddam Hussein. That's all I got to say.
That's all you got to say. Jace, yeah, they're facts. You don't make these are facts. You can't help but they're facts.
Oh, I have to tell the truth. I have a responsibility for the chat box.
There's no fake news here.
Happy birthday, Cilla.
The questions, Jace. Can I just read this quote out from Jurgen Klopp?
Yeah.
Okay, so from Jurgen Klopp after the game, obviously, Liverpool finished on 97 points and don't win the league. Hilarious.
They lost one game all season, you cunts.
That's amazing, isn't it? But please win the Champions League.
Yes. Come on, you scousers.
Go on. Yeah. But his quote was, Mourinho leaving United after we beat them in December has cost us the league.
What? Is there something lost in translation there?
What the fuck does he even... Oh, it's so good. They've gone... Yeah, it's brilliant. They've completely lost the plot. They win the Champions League, for fuck's sake. Oh, dear.
He's just gone full Jose, isn't he? Whoa.
Oh, that's not been different.
Ellis Bell has gone from Jason, you legend, to you bastards. And... I've got a fucking spammer in my box. Mr. Bob, was it there? Somebody said that. Yeah, he's punching way above his weight, to be fair. She's hot.
She's lovely as well. Yeah, Jace.
Not only is Jason interested, but apparently all our listeners as well. So, you know, if you ever want to get rid of Ellis.
You should be in our WhatsApp group because he typically sends pictures of her asleep.
he does not do that.
I better change that. No, he'll be in bed watching football or ABW on the big telly, and then she's next to him, and she could be asleep, she might be unconscious, she might be inflatable. No one's ever known. But we, as a podcast people, here's my lovely new brush, it's good, isn't it? We need to point out one thing. We're only supporting Liverpool in the Champions League final because not only because we hate Spurs, but Liverpool have won that trophy about seven times. Winning the Champions League for them means fuck all. They don't care about winning that. It's the joy we get from the one they really, really want is the Premier League title. It's like when you're a kid and you really, really wanted a Commodore 64 and your parents bought you a VIC-20. That's the equivalent of what Liverpool are about to do. They're getting another VIC-20 when they really want a Commodore 64. Hey, John.
No one's going to get that reference. No,
you did.
I'm old. It doesn't
yeah.
matter.
Loki will get it.
I'm losing the world to Olivia. Danny, what were your final thoughts on the game, mate?
Really good that we've now won another trophy. That's one more thing this season that Spurs haven't got, though. We can wedge that in our trophy cabinet, that golden boot. We've got enough there for a centipede now, which is fantastic. Aubameyang on form. No one got injured, which is really good, apart from Mavropanos, but he was never going to play in the final. Koscielny looked really good and sprightly when he came on. He made quite a few runs because the last game he was struggling because he has to have the massage on his Achilles every day. And Nketiah scoring was good for the future of Arsenal. Guendouzi got a good kick in and still pulled through. Elneny didn't have a nightmare. That's another really good thing. And Leno, just magnificent. And we have to play Leno in goal. Peter Cech is going back to Chelsea at the end of the season, next season when he retires. That's almost, I'm certain that's going to happen. You have no loyalty to Cech. Leno is the better goalkeeper. Cech isn't. Cech's leaving. Leno's staying at the club. If you don't play Leno in goal, Emery, I'm going to have you, boy.
I'm going to talk about it afterwards, okay? But that was your thoughts on this game, yeah?
I've got more. They probably involve cats. I'm not eating yet. What?
You surprise me. Ooh. In any case, oh God help us. On to questions. Oh God, I don't know what the hell is going on here. Here we go. Cayman 1867 with a question, and he says, which of this year's transfers were hits and which were misses? So we're all going to answer these guys. John, you first. Leno.
Hit.
Danny, Leno.
10 out of 10. Bullseye. Look what you could have won. Speedboat.
John, a hit for me as well. Torreira.
Hit.
Danny. Hit.
Yeah, but I won't wait for you to say my name next time. Hit.
Jason. I agree with that. Sir John Socrates.
There isn't a medium option, is there?
Yeah, there is.
Oh, okay.
There is.
Meh. Yeah, he's been all right.
Brilliant. Yeah. And not only for the club, but for the fact that you've got egg all over your face over that thing.
Mm. He's been bang average, Dan. He's
still been bang. Mustafi hasn't even been. Mustafi can only dream of being bang average.
Mustafi's outstacked him. Fucking hell, it's easy. Yeah, meh. Yeah, meh is the middle one, so he's a meh. Guendouzi.
Hit, I think, yeah.
Well, Dan? He's played 46 games for us, one goal, two assists. No, I think that's been average. I'd expected more.
He's 19. I'll give him a hit.
He's 20 now. He was. Yeah.
Okay. Well,
I think we need to have graduations of this, Jace, because we're struggling to either hit or miss.
Meh is the middle range.
Okay. Well, I'm going to put him down as a meh.
Okay. Fair enough. I think he's a hit. I think, you know, he did a lot of talent there. Yes, he's struggled, but he's young. John, Lichtsteiner.
Miss. Massive.
Boo! Off with his head.
Done?
Yeah.
I take that's a miss, is it?
Oh, miss. It's not even anywhere near a miss. It's so miss. It went the other way. Pointless. Utterly fucking pointless.
To be fair, he's 35, you know. I mean, what were we thinking? I thought he'd had a bit of steel, but I was wrong. So there you go. Yeah, it's a miss, unfortunately. John Suarez.
Miss. Sorry, missing, I should say.
Who? The bloke who played, 17 minutes all season and people are saying they want him back?
That's cost the club £4 million.
I will give Suarez a little bit of leeway in the sense that I'm not sure it's necessarily his fault because I don't actually know if he's a good footballer or not because I don't think I've ever seen him play football. So, yeah.
I've seen him play for Sevilla, but I mean,
you know, 95 minutes is what he played. I've seen pitch invasions last longer.
Yeah, it's a massive miss for me as well. John, you, Thomas from Norway asks, can't believe we didn't get third in that run-in. What were your thoughts?
Well, before I do that, I'm going to say big thank you to Benoit Messier for his donation. Thanks for your work throughout the seasons, guys. Thank you very much for the donation. Thank you for watching and listening. And also, Nicky Wilson as well chipped in with a donation. 5 cup finals in 6 years. Cheer up, you miserable gits. Good point. I think you'll find that most fans would be saying they'd be screwed, you know, pulling their hair out, something like that. How do we screw it up? I think it's down to the manager, basically, and it's a massive disappointment. The thing is, I said at the start of the season, if we get top four or we won the Europa League, I'd be happy, and I'll be happy overall with the season. But if you're just talking about the league campaign, no, I think it's a I think it's a big old cock up, you know.
It just, yeah, it's not difficult. It's getting third, isn't it?
Yeah, getting third would have been great, but not even getting fourth is, yeah, it's really bad.
To be fair, the running was gutless, and that's my issue with him. I mean, you know, you see people getting annoyed about questioning the manager, but, you know, there's a cut, the cup final's on one game. If he wins it, yeah, fair play to him. That's a massive achievement for him. But that league run-in, that tells you where you are as a club. And it's not just been disappointing. It's been criminal the way we performed over the last sort of 8 or 9 games. So, you know, when he takes the plaudits, you've got to take the criticism as well. And I just hope we win Europa to sort of, you know, so you can look forward to next season and start to build something now. Danny. Karen Russell asks, oh, I'm going to answer this one, sorry. Karen Russell asks, just a quick one, will you be doing any podcasts during the summer? We will have a few. If we make a signing or if something big happens, we're going to go live that day. As for podcasts, I think we're going to do a couple of saying goodbye to players and stuff like that. Yeah, Dan. And there's going to be a fan special as well. Also, myself and John are going to do a follow-up to the mental health special we did. We're getting Paul back on. Just need to agree a date with Danny and Paul, with John and Paul to do it. Just to say, see how the day went, how the march went and stuff like that. We lost the bloody football that day, that's for certain. But there you go. Dan, Thomas from Norway asks, would you sell Ozil to free up his wages if we can get anywhere near a decent price for him?
I'd take Ozil to one of the Manchester bring and buy sale, and I'd let him go on a free just to get rid of him. I don't want him at the club. The most enthusiastic he's been all season. We went shush you lot, shush. Yeah, if you only put that much passion into 90 minutes every bloody game that you can be bothered to play at home, if you don't do the away ones, I've had enough of him and Mkhitaryan, lazy ass players. When you see that wonderful Iwobi running around like a blue-ass fly, trying his absolute hardest, and Ozil just could not give a shit about it. I don't know what it is. Maybe it's going to come out in years to come that he's not happy with life, or he's, I don't know, he's allergic to London, which I can understand. I was born there. I can say what I like about it. But, yeah, it's not good enough. But also, we might be doing a Del Piero Wonderland. That's an actual thing we're going to maybe possibly do in the summer.
We are going to be doing a Del Piero Wonderland, but that's set. That's going to be fun. I'm going to order my Juventus shirt.
We're going to get Lana can wear her Juventus shirt. Yeah, she does. See, I let her colour, true colours out.
Oh, God help. Let's move on. John, Thomas from Norway asks, would you take Sanchez back if he apologises profusely?
Hell no. But I did read somewhere that United are thinking about cancelling his contract, which would cost them north of 100 million, I think.
Whoa!
They'd have to pay out to him because of the wages he's on.
Really, that's the gift that keeps on giving, isn't it?
I think Sanchez, as much as people obviously hate him now because of the move and everything else, there's no denying that he was amazing when he was at Arsenal. And he carried us for 2 seasons. And you also saw the best of Mesut Ozil when Alexis was in the team, because he had someone who was at his level and his ability. And you used to see games where those two would just play together and no one else would touch the ball, and it'd be amazing. But yeah, I think he's just one of those players who's played so much football from such a young age, just hit a wall and just dropped off. A bit like, you know, how like Rooney sort of hit an age and just went...
Michael Owen as well.
Rapidly. Yeah. It happens to some people.
But I think you're saying there, you know, I mean, he's played a lot of football, those Copa Americas, etc.
Yeah, had the thing, he had like 3-4 seasons in a row where he didn't have a summer off or something stupid. Yeah. It's a bit like that Spain squad had the same, thing.
You know, he was amazing for us. You know, his goal return was superb. But his last season, it showed the cracks it did, you know. You're right in what you're saying. He only passed to Mesut at the times, yet you had runners in better positions who he just wouldn't pass to, and he became more of a liability. I mean, I got to be honest, I wouldn't touch him with a barge pole anymore. That last season kind of summed it up. But he was a magic player for us, wasn't he?
Yeah, absolutely. And I think if there was a bit more foresight in it, and it's easy to say now, maybe if we had sold to City, maybe he would have had a slightly better career, because Pep might have managed him a bit better and got a bit more out of him because he knows the player. We would have got some money, not have got Mkhitaryan, maybe invested it differently. So I don't particularly hold a grudge against him personally, but no, I wouldn't take him back.
I don't hate him. I think he's brilliant. I mean, he was not doing the season that he left halfway through the season. He wasn't up to par. I think he was 8 goals in 24 games, and you could see that he wanted to go. And the fact that he went there and he didn't do a Van Persie, he's done an anti-Van Persie, just was brilliant.
Danny's phone.
It is.
Danny, sort it out.
It's on mute and it's over there. I'm not going to throw it like other people do. But I'm talking about Van Persie, his last ever game in professional football today, PSV lost at home 2-0, and he started...
See, a horrendous shirt they made him wear as well.
No.
It had like PSV, it had like half of an Arsenal kit on it, and it had like half a minute. Oh, there's a picture somewhere on Twitter. It's disgusting. It's absolutely awful.
He's a wanker, isn't he? Absolute wanker. There you go. That made me, he may not be a bad guy, but the way he left us was scumbaggish. Dan, Karen Russell asks, genuine question, what do you think of how Mustafi has done the last 3 games? In my honest opinion, I think he's done okay.
Yeah, he's been all right. But all right isn't good enough for us. If we get new players in, we've seen that Koscielny's had better games than him, and Koscielny has got no knees and no Achilles. So nothing against Mustafi. I think sometimes people have been a little bit harsh on him this season, and he's had some good games. But Arsenal fans love an Aboué, don't they? They love someone that they can boo. And unfortunately, at the moment, it just happens to be Mustafi, and it's not because he's ginger. But yeah, he's been all right. Yeah.
I agree. Things done very well last couple of games, to be fair. Marcus Hodges, I'm going to answer this one. Marcus Hodges asks, will Steve Bould return as Arsenal defensive coach next season, and should he? In all honesty, Marcus, I don't know. I don't think any of us really do. Who is responsible for what there? We have no idea. You know, you have to look at us. Our defensive problems aren't just about a Mustafi or a Socrates or anybody. It's about how we perform as a unit. And I genuinely believe that, you know, the midfield has let the defence down quite a lot of times this season. Or you get maybe the wide players. You've seen Mkhitaryan not cover AMN recently. And, you know, there are a lot of issues for Unai and the team to sort out. You can't put it all on one person, you know. You look at, as Dom always says, there's normally a number of mistakes which lead to a goal. You've got to stop it from the top. I think what the Valencia games have shown you is that when those top two of Lacazette and Aubameyang really are at it, and I mean really at it, they're magnificent, and they're the first line of defence from the top. But they're not going to be able to do that for a whole season. So as a whole unit, we need to wise up a bit. We've had a donation from Arian Hidari. Sir, Welsh help, my house is on fire.
Yeah, good job that wasn't an emergency, Jason. It's taking you 10 minutes to tell everyone that his house is on fire.
I mean, yeah, you've left that too late. His house is bombed, Jason.
Too late.
I'm sorry, Arian. That's right. Jason left it so long.
If he'd have told you straight away, we could have been there and done something. A bucket of water each.
This beard is so thick, it can put out any flames.
Jason, I said, this is how bad I am at reading stuff. I had the page up that said Feyenoord 0, Den Haag 2, and I still said PSV. Sorry, people. Disgraceful. And I am. I'm a pair of tits.
John, my Uncle Gendron asks, when are we all recording a Gerard slip and slide Wonderland?
That's every day, isn't it?
I like
that. It's still, I mean, I think I might, you know, up until the final, I might just have the Gerard slip and Klopp's comment about Mourinho getting sacked, costing him the lead, just on loop. Just to.
What about the wind quote as well? The wind quote is great.
I've just seen that Van Persie. Ahmed in the chat box has just sent me the picture of DM'd me a picture of Van Persie in that kit. Is that a girdle he's wearing around his waist? Because
no idea. It's horrendous, though, isn't it?
I don't think that's the Fenerbahce kit, isn't it? I mean, that kit is AIDS. It's AIDS.
Fucking sorry. Oh, the next picture should be him burning it.
Just him burning. Actually, John, I'm gonna stick with you. Pete Coulson asks, why in the name of our dear Lord Bergkamp are we being forced to play a final in Baku?
Money, I guess. I've got no idea. I don't know how they select the locations for the final.
To be fair, okay, Azerbaijan are part of the UEFA. Okay, they get every right. They've got every right to host a final as anybody else.
Yeah, no, I don't have a right. Problem. I don't have a problem with it. I'm not sure how it's selected. The thing is, it's that weird thing of it's just the way it worked out that it's two English teams. Now, I'm not saying a team from Azerbaijan was likely to ever get to the final, but they're in a competition as well. They could have got there. It could have been a home game or whatever for them. Or it could have been Wembley for the final. And that would have just been convenient that it was Arsenal-Chelsea. It's not great for fans of either club. It's kind of ridiculous. I mean, the thing that annoys me more, I'm not going out for that game. I wouldn't pay that much money to go out there. It's ridiculous. But the thing that winds me up more is the fact that we're only getting, 6,000 tickets each for each club or something?
Did you hear why it's under 6,000?
Oh, they came out.
Because of the airport.
Yeah, they haven't got the infrastructure to have more fans there.
Yeah.
It's just bribery and corruption yet again from UEFA, because they've got all that oil money. Like, Baku shouldn't have a Formula One Grand Prix there. It's just an absolute. I saw the travel programme and I went for there. Lovely looking place, really friendly people. But when you're at the arse end of Europe, that shouldn't be there. UEFA should bring in a rule that if two teams from the same country meet in one of the European finals, then that is played at a neutral venue in that state, in that country.
Yeah,
they should do that. It's ridiculous.
But not being funny, mate. That's not going to work. I mean, I saw the preparations myself for the Champions League final in Cardiff. Okay, and it's weeks and weeks of actually getting it done, not just the planning stages.
That's because 70,000
phenomenal.
Cardiff, only a man and his handbag and his dog are going to turn up in Baku.
Right, there were about an extra 250,000 people in Cardiff for that. And I mean, you know, you had fan villages popping up everywhere. It was really, really impressive, to be fair.
I don't know where it is next year, but it moves every year, same as the Champions League final moves every year. Is it at the Bernabeu? No.
I think this year it's in Spain.
I think it might be the Bernabeu this year, yeah. You know, so two English teams got there.
No, it's an Athletes stadium.
Oh, is it Athletes, is it? Yeah.
Yeah.
So, you know, it's two English teams have to go to Spain, which is it's closer for them than Arsenal, Chelsea.
Well, you had the Chelsea United final in Moscow, didn't you?
Yeah, you had that as well in the Champions League final. It's just the way it works out sometimes. But it's crap. It's not great for our fans. It's not great for Chelsea fans. The number of tickets allocated is a joke. But it's UEFA. It's the way they do it.
Also, they can't guarantee the safety of one of our players. Well, if you can't do that, we're having it somewhere else.
No, you're not allowed in.
Well, that's a different thing altogether.
I know. I saw a YouTube video. TIFO Football did a brilliant thing about the whole situation. Go and have a look for TIFO Football on YouTube, and they explain it. But that's just shocking that you can't guarantee your safety. Well, you shouldn't play the final there then.
it's not great, is it? It's just not great. But I mean, you know, if people have been mourning about this at the beginning of the season when it was announced or whatever, you know, it carries a bit more weight.
No one cared that it was in Baku at the start of the season because No one particularly wanted to be in the final anyway, because everyone went, oh, it's the Europa League. I don't really care about it. It just so happens that we're in a position now where this is the only way we get Champions League football. So it matters and it's massively important. And we'd rather it was somewhere closer so we could have more fans and the infrastructure was better. It's very typical football fan pick and choose when you want to have an argument about something.
I didn't even know the final was in Baku until we got there. I took no notice of it.
Exactly. That's part of the problem. It's part of the problem. We only care when something affects us.
Yeah.
You know, if you're going to have strong moral fiber about something, you shouldn't just have it when it affects you. You should have it beforehand. So it's one of those. Onwards. Danny Thomas from Norway asks, should we be a little worried for the final?
Absolutely not. Chelsea are a shower of shit. They've got a manager that the players don't really like. They're struggling with his system. John's probably better to talk about this, so I'll leave that. No, we won't. We don't have to be worried. We have got the firepower to go there. They are going to be relying on Giroud, who's only scoring in the Europa League for them. Maybe Fatih Hijuan is going to get one in off his arse. The whole team's a shambles. We should easily beat them. Chelsea haven't been this weak since that time when they finished, seventh or eighth in the Premier League? Again, from chopping around with managers. And they're going to have no investment, Chelsea. Chelsea are going backwards now as a club, which is brilliant to see. But John will tell you more about Sarri if he wants, or if he doesn't.
Thomas, yes, we should be worried.
No, we shouldn't. Don't you dare.
Okay. You want to chase? Hmm? Yeah, I am. I
genuinely am. One thing I would say in our favour, Sarri's never won a trophy as a manager.
Yeah, there's always a first time for everything. That's the problem. I just look at us. Not Valencia were poor, you know. And we made them look good regards to sort of attacking football at times. I thought if Napoli had finished half the chances they had out there, we'd have been out on our arse. Do you know what I mean? We've shown grit, etc. But we've gotten by on a bit more luck than judgment at times. And Chelsea, you've still got Eden Hazard. You know, you've still got good players in that squad. So it's no done deal, is it? So onwards, I'm going to answer the next one. Matthew D'Souza asks, which, if any, of our left backs do you keep? I'd keep Collar. And the only reason I say that is because I just think Gage is catching up with Nacho. And I really, really love Nacho Monreal. So, you know, it's one of those. He's been a fantastic player. He's technically a beautiful player. But... you know, they'll know where he is fitness wise and if he can improve and come back for next season. But fingers crossed, he can. John Matthew D'Souza again. What do you make of the Lacazette to Barca rumours? Should we consider selling, seeing how hard it would be to replace him?
At first, I thought they were all nonsense, but I saw some more stuff today from like slightly more. Reliable or credible media sources, I guess you'd say. I'm a little bit surprised. I really like Lacazette. I'm just not sure he's quite at Barca's level. But the talk is, I think it was 40 or 50 million plus a player, possibly.
Messi.
Sadly not. There was rumour that one of them, it would be money plus Umtiti, which, I mean, that sounds great to me. I mean, I'd be disappointed to see Lacazette go, but if it's 40 odd million plus Umtiti, that's pretty good. The other one is Andre Gomez, was the other rumour.
Because it's not Suarez, the midfielder.
No, Andre Gomez, who has been at Everton this season. He's a decent midfielder and, you know, he's done quite well there. So if the offer's right and, you know, I think we might have to take it because we're going to have to generate some funds and the squad needs a big overhaul. You've still got Aubameyang. You've got Nketiah to play, which means you would only realistically need to go out and get another striker. It's a big thing to ask. And it's also whether the player wants to leave as well. So I think you'd have to consider it. Yeah, if it was the right offer, then I'd do it. If it's money plus Umtiti,
no offense, Kate. It's either Suarez, Messi, or Umtiti plus 50 million. Otherwise, they can fuck off. Mm. And I know that would be a joke to them.
Yeah,
but you know, why are you going to sell? You know, the two positives out of the season. You know, Aubameyang's goals, Lacazette's play.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? You'd need to have, you know, a striker that you know would come in and do do a better job lined up.
Yeah.
And that's not going to be cheap, is it?
No, it's not. I think if Sven was still here, if Mr. Mislintat was still at the club, I'd feel more confident about doing a deal like that, because I'm not so confident in who it is who's purchasing players after we sell.
Agreed. It's going to be interesting to see. I mean, if Edu is the man who's coming in, it's going to be interesting to see what's lined up, who's going to be coming, etc., and how ready they are for the Premier League, which is the big thing. Right, so one last question. We're all going to answer this. Matthew D'Souza, it's two last questions. Danny, you'll take this one, then we'll go back to Stan the Man for 50's question. Matthew D'Souza again. How much have you seen of Chambers at Fulham, and do you feel he can play centre-back or centre-midfield next season?
The only stuff I've seen from him, I think I've seen a couple of games on TV, because Fulham haven't been on TV that much. I've seen quite a few Match of the Day highlights where, beginning of the season, their manager, couldn't defend and they weren't set up to defend. Much like when he was at Middlesbrough the couple of seasons before, he played at right back and centre back, and I think he had a few games in midfield. But since he's had a Ranieri nightmare, but when he's had, who's the new man? Just been England international. Is Scott Parker. Yeah. Since he's reorganised the team, made it more defensive, and he's been playing almost permanently. I've not looked today or the last game, but he played a lot of games as defensive midfielder. I think he scored a goal. He's had a couple of man of the matches. And I vaguely remember when we signed him from Southampton, that people were talking about that he was a more natural defensive midfielder than he was a centre-back. Well, he's English, and we've got English players leaving. And if he's versatile enough, then maybe you could get rid of the likes of Elneny. And then you've got someone there who knows the game and can play centre-back or defensive midfielder. So what I've seen of him in defensive midfield seems to be all right.
I've got to be honest. We spoke to Chris about this in the podcast last week. You know, the partnership he and Holding were forming last season, you know, that looked as if it could be something really positive. So I'd definitely keep him. John, you?
Yeah, I think so. Yeah, I would keep him. I don't see why you would move him on. It helps fill our English quota. He knows the league. He can play multiple positions. We're not financially in a position where we can just chuck players away. I think it's stupid. Yeah.
Really difficult, isn't it? Right. Okay. So, Stan the Man, last question for the pod. Stan the Man 450 asks, could the panel each give 3 highs and 3 lows from the season? So 1 each. John, start with the highs. Go.
The Tottenham, the 4-2 against Tottenham. That's an easy one.
Okay, yeah. Danny.
Us winning the Europa League.
It hasn't happened.
Okay. Spurs losing 6-0 in the Champions League final. No?
Hey.
Oh, I've got one. Liverpool run. We're losing one game all season and not being title winners. There we go.
I wouldn't deny me, Davies.
What?
I wouldn't Arsenal high.
Oh, Eddie Nketiah's goal. I've got a very short memory, Jace. I'm lucky I remember what your name is. Yeah, Eddie, I'm happy with Eddie. I'm happy with the Aubameyang and Lacazette handshakes. The gentleman, that's made me happy.
Okay. Reaching the Europa League Cup final has made me happy. It really has. So that's my high. John, your low for the season.
Arsenal related or football in general? Because this
Arsenal related,
fucking awful. The Liverpool 5-1, that was just, yeah, that was horrible. There's a difference between going into a game now and you're probably going to lose it, and then coming out of it going, we were fucking embarrassed, you know, piss poor.
My forever lasting memory of that game is just Socrates hacking away at Salah. Not once, not twice, three times. Fucking shit. Danny, you're low for the season.
O-Z-I-L, Ozil, everything he's fucking done.
Okay.
That's what you're getting.
That's fair enough, to be fair. It is fair enough. You know, I mean, it's not been great, is it?
That money could pay three or four really good players.
So, yeah, probably could. I don't know about really good, but good is, yeah. My low for the season has been the running in the league.
I thought you were going to say Cardiff getting relegated.
Oh, fuck Cardiff City. I just think it summed up our season as a whole, you know what I mean, in the fact that we lacked identity, we lacked an ability to sort of, you know, be resilient and, you know, from being in prime position for third to just, you know, finishing where we have has been disgraceful, to be honest with you. It really has.
Do you think we should shoot more?
I think we should tackle more and save goals more. You know, I think that's what we should do.
Good.
That's it. This is the last league podcast live show of the season. And just a massive thanks to everybody who's joined the chat box at any given point or who's listened on any other platform such as iTunes, Stitcher, whatever. You know, your support has been absolutely magnificent. It's, you know, it's kept us going all season. There have been highs and lows. It's been exciting having a new manager. It's been disappointing at times, you know. Let's just hope he can end off with a trophy. I've no idea who we're going to have on the cup final show yet. Some massive thanks to the chat box, to those who've donated throughout the season. Thank you ever so much. You know, I can't believe you donate money to us. I really can't. It's just like, it's bonkers. For tonight, we had Richard Morris, Marcus Hodges, Dean Robinson, 1983, Matts and Mr. Bob Lex, Benoit Messier, Mickey Wilson, and Arian Hadari, and, you know, Evon Okorfor always donates. You know, it's just been fantastic. So thank you ever so much. Chase, a massive thank you. Yeah?
Do you know how many games, how many live shows you've done or you've organised this season?
No idea.
57.
It's going to be 58 soon, isn't it, pal?
Look at you. Our very own Pythagoras.
Fucking hell, you know. I'm not too bad on your math. You know, a massive shout out and massive thank you to John Welsh, Dom, Danny here. Fuck Ellis Mel, the lovely Silla for putting up with him. Josh Dorr, Carl Art London Guy. Dave Gunaholic's been on, Cactus Jack's been on, Femster's been on, am I right? Lana's maybe been on, Drew was on. Am I missing anybody?
Shredder's
been on. Shredder.
It's got the same name as you. How hard is that to remember?
Yeah, but he's ginger.
Point taken.
Chris Carpenter, we've got the pirate. We've mentioned Dom, haven't we? We've mentioned Aussie Dom.
Yeah.
A massive thank you to everyone who's come on and given their time for the show. You know what I mean? It's absolutely magnificent. OG. Jesus.
We did mention Josh, didn't we?
No.
Yeah, we did mention Josh.
Yeah. No, just ignore him.
Okay. Yeah.
Don't worry about it.
Yeah. But you know, a massive thanks to the guys. You know, it's a tough old season. It really is. When you've got to do so many, it's hard. And you know, my brother from another mother there in his ABW Live shirt, he knows how tough it can be. And so thank you to everybody for your support. It's just been magic. Thank you to the boys and girls. And we look forward to one more this season. So fingers crossed it's a positive one. And we're celebrating a victory. But a win to finish off the season isn't too bad. So the chat box, you are magnificent. Kelly Mars just come in the chat box last minute. Hi, she says. Oh, no. You're late, Kelly. You're late. Go in the corner and have a think about that. Have a think, you know. Should be ashamed of yourself. Have a chat to your parents and apologise for letting them down.
Her cats are disgusted.
Chris's cats are disgusted. And a couple more taps wouldn't go amiss. But, you know, all the kind words in the chat box. Thank you, guys. You know, you are superb. As we always say, without you, we're just a bunch of pillocks talking nonsense to ourselves. So, you know, we've at least we got somebody to share our pain or our joy on any given week. So that's it for tonight. So a massive thanks to you, Danny.
Cheers to you, Jason.
It's okay, pal.
It's all right.
A massive thank you to you, John Welsh. You are my favourite.
Thank you, Jason, for always hosting and turning up, even when you definitely shouldn't have and should have at least had half the shows off, for fuck's sake.
Yeah, next season, hopefully. Then next season, hopefully. Fucking hell, it's, honestly.
Well, there are four of us now that can do all the hosting and the setting up and all that stuff. So, Jace, you might get a weekend off next season if you're lucky.
Honest to fuck. There's some days, you know, it's one of those, isn't it? It's one of those. But that's all that's left me to say tonight is thank you so much. Danny, switch this shit off.
Nanu, nanu.